Pray, would you take up offering, please? First off, I need to ask you to forgive me. My head is really stuffed up, and you're going to hear probably more than once today. Forgive me ahead of time, will you? Thank you. And I really want the Lord to get in this Sunday school today. I have had this thought, if you will, or this nugget dropped into my heart since the beginning of the year. I went to Brother Streeter and I said, hey, if you get an opportunity to let me teach, why, I'd be glad to do it. And so this thing is kind of 4 weeks already backed up in my mind. As Amanda mentioned, my profile picture is that on Facebook. You know, I mean, it's been in my mind for a while, but I want to talk this morning about hope. Amen. About hope. Now, Pastor preached Sunday night, and he almost used my notes, but I've been working on this for quite a while, and he said faith, and I'm going to talk about hope tonight. Amen. I take it as a confirmation, you know, from the Lord that he wants us to get a hold of what he's trying to speak to the church. Amen. And the continuity of the Holy Ghost. That's what I see in the whole thing. Brother Patrick, pray, will you? Now, there are two songs that are going through my mind, and both I heard on a radio here a while back, and we're going to play one of them today, but and it goes along with the picture that I gave on the handout, this thought of my anchor of hope. I'm sorry. I should have had these back there, sister. And you should have had one. But having an anchor of hope. Praise God. That's what the song is going to be that Brother Walter is going to play for us here in a second. A pastor talked about faith and having an expectant faith and that's exactly right. I'm not trying to teach something different or reteach what he taught or preach or anything like that. But I have to believe, too, that God is not a stutterer. What he says in the Word, he means. And each and every word is in there for a reason. It's for us to get a certain perspective or aspect on those things that he's talking about. And in 1 Corinthians, it talks about that there are three things there essential to the Christian life. Amen. At the end of where he deals with the baptism in the Holy Ghost, he says that there are three that abide. Faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. And what ends up happening is because the Bible says the greatest of these is charity, we tend to dismiss the other two. Now there's a whole church movement that is focused on another aspect of that, and that is nothing but faith. Amen. And faith, we've got to have. All three are just as important. The Bible says that the greatest of these is charity, but that doesn't mean that the other words are just filler to take up space in the Word of God. They're there for a reason. Now, let me ask you this. I want to see a show of hands of everybody that believes that God is so powerless. Now listen to what I'm saying. God is so powerless that he can't move for you in your life. I want to see a show of hands. Not one. Not one. So to me, that means that we all have the measure of faith. Everybody believes that God is who he said he is and can do what he said he can do. The impossible is not outside of his realm of capabilities. We have that faith. Amen. Now, if I was to ask you, let me see a show of hands of those that believe or hoping that we have a really light, nice winter. I got both mine up. Now, the one, that hope is not based on too much fact. Now we have had to this point a pretty nice winter, but tomorrow in northern Indiana, we could have 3 feet of snow, no problem. Brother, I'm a little loud. Even I know I can only hear out of one ear, but I'm a little loud. We're hoping against something that probably, or hoping for something that probably is not rooted and grounded in truth or fact when we hope that we're going to have a light winter. Amen. Now, for you people that like snow, you can get prayed through later. I'm just teasing. But the fact remains that that mentality about hope is what we apply to biblical hope. Now think about this. We know the truth, but when it comes to it being for us, in our situation, when our hope should be based on the Word of God and on the facts that God can do anything, we hope, like we hope, that we're going to have a light winter. Hello. I've got my hand in the air too. I hope a lot of times the same exact way. And really it's not hope, is it? It's wishing. It's wishing, and wishing and desire very may well not be based in facts. What I wish for, what I desire, may not be based on facts. But biblical hope is based on fact. Amen. It's on the fact that God is. It's on the Word of God. God spoke and it's written down and it's for you and it's for me. The Word of God. My hope is based on scriptural understanding. It's based on the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Based on time and prayer. My hope. Now, there have been many times, and in the last 3 or 4 years, my hope has often hit rock bottom. I say that to my detriment because God has given me everything that I need, so it never has to be that way. He has given me everything I need so that my hope stays firm. Amen. And yours too. If you'll base your hope on Him. Amen. Your hope on Him. Now, because some people, they teach that, hey, you can only hope to know that you're saved. The church, the conservative church, we back off of some subjects. Just like the conservative church a lot of times will back off of faith or believing God for the impossible. We back off because, hey, there's a worldly church out there and they're blabbing and grabbing and you know, all that kind of stuff. So we kind of tend to back up a little bit. But the truth of the matter is that hope, while it doesn't play a part so much in, I hope I'm saved, not like that. We know we're saved by grace through faith, right? Hope isn't in that part of the equation. But after that grace and faith has come, we should be full of hope. Amen. Let me ask you what the rapture is called in Scripture. What is it, Sister Kincaid? The blessed hope, the happy hope. The rapture is called the blessed hope. Amen. Once we are saved, we should have some hope. Not wishing, not desire. Although some of us, that would really help if it was based on truth, that we would get just a little bit of desire going here. I'm talking to me. Brother? Amen. We'll talk about that in a little bit here. But because there is a church out there that misuses or misteaches or teaches incorrectly about being saved and hoping, you know, I'm going through this life and hopefully I've done enough good and God will put it in these balances and I'll be weighed and all, you know, I'm hoping that I'm okay and, You know, if you go to talk to an Amish person or a Mennonite, somebody that has real strict standards and say, are you saved? Well, I hope so. That's not hope. We can know that we're saved. But because there's this other church that teaches about hope, we totally neglect it. But hope is an important aspect of the Christian life. Amen. As long as it's biblical hope. Amen. It's not this watered-down, wishy desire, I want, but biblical hope. Now, on the back of one of your handout there, there's the words to this song. Brother Streeter, will you play My Anchor of Hope, please? I'm sorry, you don't have a handout, do you? Let me get you one. Sorry, yeah, no problem. It's my anchor of hope. Hallelujah. They will be blowing, I'm here to stay. Jesus. Praise God. I hope you get a hold of that this morning. Jesus is my anchor of hope. As we go through this world, we'll find plenty of situations that we can look at with our natural eye that will not gender hope in our lives, that will not bring us to believe to have hope. But Jesus, if we'll know Him, and He'll be our anchor in this tossed world. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 42. I'm just going to read three scriptures here real quick as I bring out several illustrations. I guess I'm ahead of myself a little bit in my notes here, so let me go back and let's go ahead and go there in your Bible. But without hope, we're defeated before the battle ever begins. Before the battle ever begins, if we have no hope. Do you know that was our state? The Bible says before we were saved, we were in this world and we had no hope. Why? Because there was sin between us and God. There was a wall of partition and we had no hope. Scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, but if in this life, and he's talking to Christians, if in this life only we have hope, we're all men most miserable. I'm trying to quote that instead of flipping there. But it doesn't say that in this life we shouldn't have hope. He says that this is all you got. He's talking about the resurrection there, if you remember. But as we look at that scripture, we can see that, hey, this Christian experience is supposed to have a life, or have part of our life filled with hope. Amen. As we wait for His blessed return, and as we stand on His promises. Amen. Now, there was another song, and I had Sister Crystal Ellison learn it. I was going to sing it this morning, and my head is so full of stuff, there is no way, and you guys are all thankful that I didn't sing it. But it's on your handout, too. There is hope. And the chorus goes like this. There is hope, so hold on. There is hope. God has sent me here to tell you there is hope. And He knows just what you're going through and what the future holds. As long as Jesus lives, there is hope. Amen. Now, on your handout too, I've got some fill in the blanks there, and you can do that. I've got my topics or my points all kind of alliterated there, and we can go through those. The first point is the definition of hope. Now, this is from the Webster's Dictionary. This is what it says. A desire of some good accompanied. Now listen, it's not just the desire. It's accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it. Or a belief that it is attainable. Hope differs from wish and desire in this. That it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desire. Let me read that again. Hope differs from wish and desire in this, that it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired or possibility of possessing it. Hope, therefore, always gives pleasure or joy. Hope always gives pleasure or joy, whereas wish and desire may produce or be accompanied with pain and anxiety. One illustration I thought of as I was thinking about this hope. When we were kids, my dad, we lived in Detroit, and I can remember him saying things to me, and there were some things that I really didn't have much faith in when he told me, but there were other things that I kind of took it to the bank. And one of those things was when he told me we were going to Grandma's house. I can remember being small. Grandma lived down here by New Paris, had a farm, had horses, had all that kind of stuff. I was living in Detroit. I loved the fact we were going to go to Grandma's house. Do any of you remember some situation like that in your life? How well did you sleep the night before you left? Why? Because there was hope in your heart. Expectation that you were going to obtain that thing. I'm going to Grandma's house. Amen. And that same expectation for good should be in us when we read through the Bible and we see the promises of God. Because it's impossible. Absolutely impossible for him to lie. I hope you get this. It's impossible for him to lie. And we can have hope in what he says in the Word of God. All of his promises are what? Yea and amen. There may be conditions. Meet the conditions. They're obtainable if they're in there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, another definition is there's a confidence in a future event, the highest degree of well-founded expectation of good, as a hope founded on God's gracious promises in a spiritual sense. Praise God. God, who cannot lie, has told us over and over in the Word of God that there are promises that belong to the children of God. And yet when we approach them, number one, for us conservative folks, we're afraid of being labeled blab it and grab it, that super faith crowd. So we back off. We don't want to be labeled like them. Or we approach it with that same kind of hope that we have when we talk about the weather. We're wishy-washy, and what we should have is a biblical hope. A firm confidence, a confidence that in what God has said, it's like going to grandma's house. Amen. Psalms chapter 42 and verse 5, 11, and then 43 and verse 5. As I was studying for this, I read across the account of Vance Havner, and many of you will know his name. He is a famous preacher and he was going through one of the deepest, darkest points in his life. His wife was laying dying in a hospital. The doctors there had talked to him and told him, listen, Vance, you need to get away from here. He was going faithfully every day to the hospital. He was staying there day in and day out until the point where it was almost killing him. And the doctors told him, Vance, you need to get away. Well, he was a famous preacher, and there were plenty of places for him to go preach. And somebody called him. He went, and he said, now, I don't put a whole lot of stock in doing this. But he said, I went into my motel room, and I asked God if he understood. Where I was at. God, do you know where I'm at? And he said he walked over to the Gideon Bible. And he said, now don't put a lot of faith and stock in this happening. But he said, this day, it was exactly what I needed. And he found on one page in that Gideon Bible, these scriptures. Psalm 42 and verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. 43 and verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now he said, I may not be the sharpest tool in the shed. Of course, he didn't talk like that. I am. But he could get that. Where God was trying to tell him, hey, I know right where you're at. Hope in me, even there. And I'll be the health to your countenance. Now, I don't know about you, But I would love to have that happen to me. Amen. Because there have been many times when I was in that dark place, in that trial, in that tribulation. When you cry out to God, God, do you know where I'm at? Do you even care? Do you ever ask God that? Well, I have. And I think he kind of smirks and says, I'm right here. I know where you're at. Hope in me. Trust in me. Amen. And I'll be the health of your countenance. Your whole being. I'll be the health of you. Amen. There's a couple more illustrations I want to bring out about this hope. Amen. In 1927, while surfacing from a submerged run over the measured mile off Cape Cod near Provincetown, Massachusetts, there was a submarine, American submarine, and she was accidentally rammed and sunk by the Coast Guard destroyer Paulding. The Paulding stopped and lowered lifeboats, but found only a small amount of oil and air bubbles. Rescue and salvage operations commenced immediately, only to be thwarted by severe weather. Heroic efforts were made to rescue six known survivors trapped in the forward torpedo room. And they had exchanged a series of signals with the divers. So here's this boat on the bottom of the ocean floor. And there's people, six survivors inside, that are tapping out messages. Heroic efforts were made to rescue six men there. As the trapped men used the last available oxygen in the sub, a diver placed his helmeted ear to the side of the vessel and received this Morse-coded message. Is there any hope? Now, I want you to put yourself in the place of those sailors, those six sailors. There was a lot more in that crew than just those six that were trapped, but those six had been kept alive, and they were trapped in the torpedo room breathing the last bits of air. And what did they tap out? Is there any hope? Now, sadly, as we have history to back us up here, all of the people in that submarine perished. Every last one of them. But in that last place, all they wanted to know, is there any hope? Why? Because that hope would be a health to their countenance, the Bible says. Hope in God, amen, be a help to you. They were hoping in rescue. Now, could you imagine what would happen if that diver would have tapped back? Yep. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. We're rising in 10 minutes. Tap, tap. Now, what do you think those six sailors would have done? There is hope, and it's based on fact, and we're going to be out here in about 10 minutes. Amen. I don't know about you, that story struck me because the last thing I want to do is be in a boat. And the last thing I want to be in a boat that is under the water with no way of getting back up. That's just me. I don't like that kind of stuff. But I thought, man, how perilous that was. Story number two. There's a story about a young man in another country that was trapped under the debris of a school that had collapsed when an earthquake hit the area where he lived. The rescue workers were digging through the rubble to find survivors. After a few hours of pulling body after body from the rubble, they gave up hope of finding anyone alive. They were calling off the search. This young boy's father ran past the barricade and started searching through the rubble for his son. Everyone tried to convince him that his son was dead and that it was no use to keep searching. The father ignored all those around him and kept digging and searching. Hours went by, and then night fell, but he kept searching. The police tried to get him to go home, but the father refused. One day went by, then 2 days went by. On the third day he was digging, he heard something. He could hear a voice saying, hold on, my dad is coming. Hold on, my dad will find us. As the man broke through the rubble, he heard his son say, "Dad, is that you?" The father replied, "Yes, it's me." Then the little boy said, "Dad, I told them that you would come for us and that you would find us." Hope. Hope was the health of his countenance. Amen. Now look, maybe you have never been there, but I have been so distraught in my life's situation that I wasn't a very joyous person to be around. Now I know that's hard to believe, isn't it? Right. But if I could get my hope fixed on Him, amen, it would be a health to my countenance, to my very being. Amen. That little boy could hope while he was trapped under all that rubble. He had a lively hope. Amen. And he knew his dad was going to come. Amen. In the Bible, there's another story or an account. I hate using the word story. That makes it sound like it's not true. It's true. Turn with me to Acts chapter 27. We talked about these other modern day stories, if you will, about hope and having hope in folks and trusting and all that kind of stuff and the right kind of hope, not wish or desire, but the right kind of hope. And in Acts 27, it's talking about the Apostle Paul and how he was on his way to Rome and he was in a shipwreck. Now, in verse 11, it talks about Paul said, hey, or in verse 10, Paul says, look, don't take this voyage. It's going to be a wreck and all that. I'm telling you, don't go. And the centurion, it says here in verse 11, it says, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of or spoken by Paul. There were other reasons. They didn't want to stay there for the winter. So when the winds died down a little bit, they took off. They took off. They looked like it was the right thing to do. But the man of God had already told him, don't go. Don't go. But it looks right. But hey, there's a principle. There's a principle in the Word of God. And if you violate that principle, you're not really standing. You shouldn't have any hope because there's no telling what you're going to get into. That's what he was implying there. He's saying to that centurion, look, there's going to be a great loss if you go. Don't go. The centurion, what's it say? He decided the owners, somebody else knew better than the man of God. Somebody else knew better than the man of God. They should have listened. That centurion should have listened. Because not long after, it says in verse 14, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work and to come by the boat. Which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands and all that stuff that talks about the crash and the shipwreck and how they're in this storm. During that time though, Paul in verse 21, he says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. What? What did you just say, Paul? We're in the middle of it, of a hurricane. We're out here and the ship's getting ready to be busted to pieces. And you, what'd you say, Paul? He says, be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And he goes on, he tells them some certain things about where they've got to be tied up at, if you will, or the certain island they've got to go by. But in the midst of that storm, this man of God took some time to get alone. Until when? Until he had communion with God, until God sent an angel to him and told him, hey, Paul, it's going to be okay. And I don't know about you in your deepest times. I know about me that there are times when I find it really hard to pray through till I touch heaven. And I don't have any problem doing that when things are going good. You know, finding time, pressing in, getting in when everybody else is getting in. But when it's me in the doldrums, if you will, in the storms of life, there are many times when I have a hard time pressing through until God speaks to me. Amen. But Paul did it, and so can you and I. We can press through, and I'll tell you what, when it has come to that point where God has spoken to me, I have never doubted, never once doubted that what he said was going to come to pass. I was just like Paul, and people looked at me like I was nuts in that situation. You're believing God for what? That's right. I'm believing God for that. I'll tell you one certain instance. My son's here, and he'll testify to this as well. But when he was having some seizures, and God spoke to my heart. Do you know that there were months, I think years, that went by, that every time there was a special service, and I know he got tired of it, we'd drag him to the front, pray over him, anoint him with oil. Because God had spoke to me a long time before that, that if we would call for the elders of the church and anoint them with oil, that the prayer of faith would save the sick. God had already dealt with me. I already had all that knowledge in there. And I coupled it with my hope that it would happen in that instance. And every time I had an inkling that this might be the time, Karen and I, we'd drag him up to the front of the church. Pray for him, please. Pray for him. Knowing that God was able. Remember, we already, nobody raised their hand saying God isn't able. Remember that? Nobody did that. We have faith, believing God is capable. What we have problems with is our hope that he's going to do it, and he's going to do it for us. Amen. But there was one time when I took him up, Karen and I, when we took him up, that the preacher looked at us, and he said, God has already done the work. Well, I didn't want to be irreverent, but I would almost took off shouting. I took that as a word from the Lord that, hey, this is going to happen. So I went to my doctor because, hey, the kid's in school. He's got to function. I can't take him all the medicine off him and have him unprotected at school. I can't do that. I'm his dad. I'm supposed to be providing a safe place for him. I went to my doctor. I said, Doc, check him out. Doctor checked him. Said, hey, we're going to have to up his medicine. Because he doesn't have enough medicine in there to keep him from having the seizures. Growth rates, all that kind of stuff, you know. And I said, well, Doc, we haven't seen any seizures. He says, you may, and you may have to up the increase. And all this. I said, I'll tell you what, Doc. Give me time to wean him off this. I said, and I went through the whole thing. We prayed for him, had him anoint oil. I testified to him about what God had told me at that altar. From that time forward, he got off the medicine, and he has never, ever had one seizure since then. Not once. But my faith, okay, my faith in the knowledge that God could was coupled with my hope that God would. And that he would do it for me. Amen. I'd met the conditions. He said, bring him forth. Have the elders pray for him. And I did it. And he answered. God is just looking for a little hope. Now, I said earlier, too, that there are times when things look right. And we take off. Because in a certain direction, and it's not the will of God, then we find out later that it's not the will of God. We end up in some tempestuous situation, and God has to provide a miracle or a man of God that will pray and seek his face to come with a word. Hey, Paul, go tell the centurion that I gave all you guys to you. I gave all them to you. You've got to go to Rome. And all these people are going to make it because you're going to go to Rome. And when he came up and he told that centurion that, and that there had been an angel that stood by him, do you know that centurion stopped listening to the other people he had listened to? Amen. And to the point where when the sailors were going to leave the boat, and Paul said, unless they stay in here, we're doomed too. To where he went and he had his soldiers cut the ropes to the boats that they were letting down to get away. That centurion understood that there was an angel that stood by him and that there was a hope if he would just listen to this guy that had been proven right once. Amen. And if we'll do that, if we'll get into the place where God can speak to us, he'll send his angel. He'll lift our hope. Speak to our hearts that we'll be able to go through our trials believing him and expecting him to move. Amen. Well, there are times, though, that things look right. And I'm thinking about Abraham, and I gotta quit here pretty quick, but I'm thinking of Abraham, Hagar, and Ishmael. Now, in Genesis, first off, Abraham, who is he? What's his name? The father of faith, right? Father of the faithful, father of faith. So that tells me, just like if he'd have been here this morning and I asked him the same question, do you believe God can, you know, or do you believe he's not powerful enough? He wouldn't have raised his hand either. He was the father of the faithful. But there was a time, though, when his hope was greatly attacked. And it's in the matter of Hagar and Ishmael. Now think about this. When God gave Abraham the promise in Genesis chapter 12 that out of your loins is going to come many nations, more peoples than you can count the stars, more than the sands of the sea. Abraham said, okay, I believe that. It never says, in fact, if you read Romans chapter 4, it says he staggered not at the promises of God. He believed God. He had faith. But then there was this 11-year gap from 75 until Abraham was 86, where there was no movement on that front. Sarah wasn't getting pregnant. 11 years. Now put yourself in that place. After 11 years of knowing that there was a promise that something was going to come forth, or someone was going to come forth out of my loins, it was going to be more than the stars. I had no kids, but I had a promise. After 11 years, where would your hope be? Probably in the same place his was. Because then Sarah looked at him and said, why don't you take my maid, Hagar? And in him, he never doubted that God was not going to make him the father of many nations. That was not the issue. He just didn't understand how it was going to come about. And he lost hope in waiting. He lost hope in waiting because God's timing is not your timing. God's timing is not my timing. Why didn't he do it the first time we prayed? I don't know. But he did it. And if Abraham would have just held on, if he would have just held on, it would have come about a perfect plan. Now, at that 11-year marker, if you will, Hagar got pregnant from Abraham, and who was born? Ishmael, right? Can I tell you today that even though that might have looked like the way that God was going to fulfill that promise, that there has been nothing but trouble since that day? It wasn't that Abraham didn't have faith. It said he lost his hope that God would provide a way and thought he'd help God. And he took off and started doing things on his own. I can fix this. Brother Streeter's back there, and I'm thinking about him and I right now. We look at something, there's not too many things that intimidate us. We can fix that. Until you get into some of the deepest things of life, and friend, you can't fix it. You need God to fix them. And that's what's here. Abraham needed God to fix it, and he got tired of waiting on him. And he took off, and he started to do things on his own. He was attacked in his hope. It wasn't that he didn't believe God. He knew God was going to make him the father of many nations, and he has, on both sides. Amen. There are tons of Arabs in there, in the Middle East, that are descendants of Ishmael. And there's a bunch of us that are supposed to be the children of faith, that are his father through Isaac, through the promise. If he'd have just waited. Child of God, let me tell you something. Don't let your hope get attacked while you're waiting on God. Amen. Let hope work. Have faith, confidence in that what he has promised, he's going to bring it to pass. Just wait on him. Make sure that you don't get in the way of trying to fix God's plan. Hope, because listen, I'm telling you, it's not going to keep certain things from coming to pass. If you take off down a trail that seems kind of good, and the end thereof is death, there's no guarantee that on that road you're going to find a man of God that's prayed for you, like Paul did for those folks in the ship. There's no, stay with God and let him work it out. Keep hope alive. Faith, confidence. Confidence in what he said. He'll bring it to pass. Amen. Amen. He will bring it to pass. The chorus of that other song says, God has sent me here to tell you there is hope. If there's one thing that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt today, God has sent me here to tell you there's hope. Amen. There's hope in every situation you're going through. There's hope in everything that you need to be answered. And as long as you don't get in the way, God will work it out. If you let hope work and trust God, you know what the antonym of hope is? Despair. I've got it in my notes here, and I need to run, but despair is when there is a lack of hope. No hope at all. Like those six guys, if they'd have tapped back to them, we can't get you. What do you think would have happened inside of there? They'd have probably died right then. Hope. There's a divine decree to have or to be a partaker of hope, and that God will supply our hope. Listen to Romans 15:13. It says, now the God of What's it say? Louder. The God of... Amen. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now the God of hope fill you. Amen. Something Abraham might not have had, we have available to us. The baptism in the Holy Ghost, the closeness of being filled with the Holy Ghost, where He can empower us to have hope. Amen. Biblical hope. I got too much stuff to go. I got to thinking about this, so an old story I heard, or a limerick, if you will, about Satan's garage sale. How many of you ever heard this? Satan's garage sale. One beautiful spring day, Satan took advantage of the nice weather to hold a garage sale. Crafty and playing into everyone's people's tendencies, he knows too well how they'd be in a good mood that morning. He laid out all the tools of his trade on a table for all to see and scrutinize. He cleaned them well so they would look appealing and priced them just right for a quick sale. And boy, what a mean set of tools it was. These gadgets were from his prized collection of sins, vices, and defects. Pride, sensuality, malice, hatred, envy, jealousy, sloth, deceit, and many more. You name it, and he's got it. To sweeten the pot, he even offered a mix-and-match deal. A prospective bargain hunter dropped by shortly and began rummaging through his collection. He chanced upon a pair of worn-out, ordinary-looking tools, quite forlorn and set apart from the rest. He was befuddled by the outrageous steep price. And so he asked Satan why. With a sly look and a sneer, he replied, "Well, you see, these two are my most treasured tools. They're so dependable and handy, I use them time and time again when all else fails. And you bet it'll cost you an arm and a leg to get me to part with these." By the end of the day, practically all tools were sold out, save for the dull, ordinary-looking pair that Satan esteemed so highly. Discouragement and despair. Discouragement and despair. And the only way to get in those places is for Him to attack us in our hope. Amen. We'll get to the point where we see the problem so much bigger than the promise. But God has promised us over and over and over again the things that we need for this life. I'm not done, but I'm going to quit. If you find yourself in a place where it looks like there's no hope, let me encourage you. Be like the Apostle Paul and get some alone time. Spend some time with Him, the God of hope. And let Him come and, if He has to, send an angel to speak to your heart that in that place you're in, He knows. And He's going to move for you. Let Him build your hope. Amen. Brother Martin. Yeah, another one of those is the Messiah, the promise of the Messiah. Amen. They hoped. They missed Him, but they had hoped in the Messiah. They had a lively hope. And those are some of the things I wish I would have gotten to. I'm sorry I didn't. Maybe next week. I am teaching again next week. Maybe I'll pick up on some of that stuff. Pray for me as we go this week. But listen, let God build your hope. Amen. I know you're going through some terrible things. I know that there are some that are dear to my heart right now. I'm thinking of. They need the hope of God to well up in their hearts. Amen. Lord bless you.